I am delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Dennis Gromelski. He's executive director and co-founder of the Fusion Theater Company, and Fred Franklin, who's the director of the play Clybourne Park, which is opening tonight at the Lensic at 8 o'clock in the evening, and is also being performed tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon and 8 in the evening. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, this is a Pulitzer Prize-winning play about race relations and real estate. And I haven't seen it yet, although you guys have been in Albuquerque. I've just been reading the play. It is spectacular. How did you come across this play and decide to do it?
A phenomenal piece of writing. We have found a niche. Besides the winning the Pulitzer, it also won the Tony for Best Play, as well as the Evening Standard Award and the Olivier Award, which means that it resonated not just to audience here in the States, but also overseas, and it kind of hits on some very common themes. But we've been finding a niche as a company, being able to, as New Mexico's professional regional theater company, finding works of high merit that don't... That would usually take other theater companies longer times to be able to acquire the rights to. And we've been going very aggressively in getting the rights to shows that are coming off of the Broadway or world stages and bringing them to New Mexico.
Now, let's talk about the play for a little while. It's such an interesting play because it takes place basically Act 1 is 1959, mm-hmm. Act 2 is 2009, 50 years apart. Same cast, different characters, some connections among the various characters. And why don't you just kind of set up, Fred, for us what the scene is? It's about a house.
It's about a house, yes. It's about a house and about a house with people living in it who've suffered a tragedy. And they want to get out. And they set out to get out. And then there's a great consternation over who they've sold the house to, which is, if you know you're raising the son, is a black family. And it's symptomatic of the white flight and that sort of thing that happened in so many cities. And so there's a man who appears in Raising the Son comes to talk to them and tries to get them to not sell the house to black people. And that causes a great outpouring. And then that act ends. And in the second act, it's the same house, but it's 50 years later. And a white family has come to buy the house. And they're going to tear it down and build a new one, which is maybe a McMansion, who knows. And which is wrong for that community. And so there's a meeting of this, again, this time, of a citizens group, but quite different from the last one. And so that's what transpires at that one.
And one of the things that's so interesting to me is, I mean, you have a house, okay, 1959, it's owned by some white people who sell it to a black family, and then the neighborhood, quote-unquote, declines in that 50-year period, and then it's going to be regentrified by some more white people who want to buy the house back. And you just have this basically miniature portrait of America and of the way different groups are territorially struggling with each
yes.
other and trying really hard not to be racist, and yet all these subtle and overt forms of racism and confusion show through in the dialogue, which is so well written that it's, I mean, they really capture the way people speak and think and where the sticky points are and what happens when those sticky points are exposed.
Not having lived through the 50s, our student director here has, yeah, which has been fascinating to hear some of his takes on that very topic. But, a lot of what, you look at any downtown, look at they call them downtown revitalization efforts these days, and it's happening all over the country. There was the flight to the suburbs, and now everybody's rediscovering the downtowns, which had been, there's some great lines in the play to this effect, which is one of these neighborhoods. This neighborhood in Clybourne Park in the second act has become desirable because it's one of the neighborhoods very close to downtown, which now is a fashionable neighborhood to be. There's talk of there being a Whole Foods there now in the community, which is going to bring a whole new demographic of people. But it also addresses the race issue very, very directly, and ultimately, that's what's below the surface. On the surface is, and they talk about it at length, is the property value. And it goes from the actual hard money property value to the values of the neighborhood and the historical significance of those neighborhoods and what they mean to various groups of people. And as it keeps going back generation to generation, the neighborhood was originally founded by, was it Irish
German,
and Germans?
German, yeah. Irish.
And then it became became a black, as it described, a black and brown neighborhood, and now the fear amongst those folks in the community is that, you know, very similar lines in the first and second act, that there it is, it starts with one home, all of a sudden one person moves in and that's it, you know, you're opening the floodgates. Really, really interesting piece, no question.
And there are so many, we don't want to give away the whole play, and I really encourage people to go see this because it's such a fascinating way of dealing with all these issues on a human level as opposed to a kind of documentary about redlining and all the kinds of things that, you know, we know and that we talk about. But this is actually what the human face of it looks like. And one of the things that interested me is the way in which people, when they don't want somebody else to move in, like in the first act, they don't want the black folks, basically that family, to move in, they displace what they're really talking about onto things like food. It's like, well, your people eat different food than we do, as if that were the issue. And that's such a common thing that people do when they're talking about cultural differences. They put it all on food or on something that really isn't central.
Some very funny lines about skiing as well in both acts.
Right.
And who skis and who doesn't, yeah.
Now, talk about casting the parts for this. Do you use, I mean, you're a Albuquerque-based company. Do you use all New Mexico actors?
We're an Albuquerque-based company that we like to call ourselves New Mexico-based now. We've been fortunate enough to be a member of the Santa Fe community now for 3 years, 2.5 years we've been performing here. This season, our first on the Lensic season. All of our shows this season are being performed at the Lensic, and happy to announce that all of our 13-14 shows will be at the Lensic as well. We believe that there is such a wealth of talent in this state that we do all that we can to try to cast within the state. Now, having said that, we do bring in directors from Virginia. We bring in our last play. We brought in an actor from Los Angeles. There's another actor coming. Oh, in this play, we have an actress from San Francisco. With a play that is such an ensemble piece, there are seven actors in this play, and really, it's two different plays about the same house. It was important that three or four of our actors had worked together before, because our rehearsal period is a pretty short period.
Yeah.
We rehearse only for 3 weeks, all of our main stage productions.
And you really have to, I mean, there's people talking over each other all the time, and they really have to have chemistry, and there's a couple of different husbands and wives where there's some tension there, and if that's not spot on, it's not going to work.
I think you just have to, particularly in the second act, it is so crucial that you just understand the timing and the pauses and that sort of thing. Almost like Pinter as far as pausing. And then, of course, with the speaking over top of each other, I don't think someone's going to hear everything, and I'm not sure that matters. They hear that cacophony, and they see what we are by hearing it. All of this is brought to the surface, and I think that's what's important. I have to say I'm the oldest person working on it, and so I bring to it, I heard all those conversations in the 50s.
Were you living in Fredericksburg?
No, but I was living in a place even more southern. And so it was a remarkable period to live through, because I heard all those conversations, and then I heard all the later conversations. It has a reality to the language that's remarkable.
Yes, indeed.
And unstinting, really.
Now, you came from Fredericksburg to direct this play. I mean, how did you hook up with the Fusion Theater Company?
I've usually been brought here to do something near a home, the Tennessee Williams plays they've done. So this was a step out for me to come to deal with this play. But I think, being somewhat southern, and I hope enlightened, that I brought that to it, because there is a shift there. I come from a world that was segregated, and therefore the first act looks normal to me, because there was a separation, and that it was not that it was wrong, it's this is how things are. And you have to establish that, I think, and not draw back from it. And then in the second, well, the casting, the way it's cast is amazing, on what they double as, because it's so, that is even revealing.
Right, and that's one of the reasons I can't wait to see it, because the way it's written who from the first act plays who in the second act.
Right.
And there is a pregnant woman in both of them, and she is played by the same actress, and some of the people are related or somewhat distantly related, but only with a kind of vague memory. And so what's so interesting for the viewer is you're watching and you actually know more about what happened in 1959 than the people who were related to the folks from the first part of history, of the play's history.
The audience is a character, because they are collecting all that information. They are not only collecting the information coming from the play, they are playing, I'm sure, because I do it as I watch it, in their heads all their memories. So you're pretty busy while you're watching it, because it's operating on several levels. You, in a way, slipping back through your own life with all the civil rights, and I think with even people younger, but you are also listening to all that information. I think it's a comedy.
Yes. it's a very funny piece dealing with some very real issues, and it pokes a lot of fun at itself through these issues as well.
Yeah. I'm very happy with the actress who is playing the black woman in the second act, because she doesn't hold back at all, and she's not particularly likable. She's not a victim, which I think is an amazing step.
Yeah, very important too.
Right. She's not saying she can be somewhat annoying, and she says things that are sort of unpleasant beyond any racial thing. I am fascinated. I'm fascinated by another character in the second act too, who is always espouses the liberal point of view and really has nothing to show for it. It comes back on her. So it's everybody's seen to.
Exactly.
When this play first came out, it was done at Playwrights Horizons in New York off Broadway, and then it actually transferred to London before it came back to have a run on Broadway just this past year. The backdrop had so significantly changed, because the playwright Bruce Norris had begun writing this play before Obama was elected.
Ah.
And then finished up after Obama was elected, and that backdrop really kind of lends deeper meanings, you know, completely, as it has for all of us in the society, but particularly within the arguments of this play as well.
But I think with we thought something else was going to completely happen with the advent of Obama, and I think the knives have come out. There's been so much animosity to war. I love the comment about Obama that opens with, "It's not because he's black."
Right. Yeah. Do you hear that a lot where you live?
Oh, I hear it a great deal. And they say, "It's not because he's black. I just disagree with the things he's doing." What, is that.
It so. Is. Well, and the thing is, I mean, as a Southerner and a Southeasterner, I mean,
right.
we meet Texans and Southerners from the sort of middle part of the country hear a lot in New Mexico, but not as many people from the Southeast. Do you see this play, from your perspective as somebody who lives in Virginia, as a kind of representation of the changing look and sound of race relations? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes, I do. Perhaps the only thing, it is the Obama thing, because he did do it really before Obama got going, and I think that's, I've never seen a president be as careful as he is about choices of people to work with. It's remarkable to watch because he really doesn't make a step wrong, and I think he very much knows he can't. I also think the fact that there's been no consideration of that he is biracial. There's been no real examination of the fact that he is partly white, which is a fascinating thing to me, because he is, for whatever you want to say about it. But still, it has always been the black was important.
Well, and that is the history of slavery.
Tis. I tell them stories from my youth so that they will, because they didn't hear that and they didn't live for that.
Well, I was going to say, what has the process been like for the black and white actors in this play? By the way, we're talking about the play Clybourne Park, which is opening tonight at the Lensic. But what has it been like for them to, especially in the first act, I mean, they're presumably working with material from a time before they were born.
I think they are very in tune with it. I think they're very cool about it, and I think they have a wonderful sense of humor. And that's it. And that's what's been sadly missing for the most part. And we joke a lot about each other, and we do all sorts of, which I think has made it looser among the group, and everybody feels okay. And besides the fact that they seem to be actors first rather than their race second.
And even beyond that, they're, you know, humans first. The quality of performer that we have in the show, they're just wonderful people. We have a bunch of our regulars, Gregory Wagrowski, whom the audience here might remember from our last production. He played Freud in Freud's last session. Jacqueline Reed is one of our co-founders. Bruce Holmes has been with us for about 4 or 5 years now. Jen Gregg as well. And newbie to our stage, and importantly bringing a sensibility to the production that is our truly artistic in a different way than folks we've usually worked with, is Hakeem Bellamy, who recently,
nice,
this past year, became the Albuquerque's inaugural poet laureate, a post he will hold for 3 years. And I don't know if you caught his centennial poem last year, but it's a really, really wonderful piece. And Hakeem doesn't do that much. He does a lot of performance art. He's a National Poetry Slam champion as well. And to put him in the confines of a script has really been fascinating to watch, and what he's brought to the role as well.
So this is his debut acting, or acting with you guys?
It's his fusion debut. I think he's done a couple other things, but usually he's not in the world of straight theater.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So the play is Clybourne Park. It's a Pulitzer and many other award-winning play. And so, Fred, you've been out here...
This
directing
is my fourth
with Fusion
week.
a number of different times.
Yes.
So you're a kind of honorary New Mexican.
I don't like chili.
Shh, quiet.
It's okay.
Some
of us just can't digest it.
I can't.
Fred's being quite humble about this. He actually has directed his sixth main stage production here now in the last 12 years with Fusion, including a wonderful piece. We were honored last year, at the beginning of last season, to have world premiered a piece by Tennessee Williams, which we performed not only here in New Mexico, but also at the Provincetown Tennessee Williams Festival, a piece called Once in a Lifetime.
Was it locked in a trunk or something?
It was in the trunk. I don't think there's a writer, there is a writer who didn't have a trunk. And they're always finding a piece in the trunk. And this was the piece in the trunk.
Amazing. there's a trunk in this play, too, in Clybourne Park.
Oh, which is very important.
Which is very important. We won't give that away.
No. It's almost Greek, you know, that trunk appearing, I think.
Right. Yes, the tradition of the Greek trunk.
It is not a Greek trunk, actually. It's a footlocker.
I think it's getting to be about time to go now, but it's a wonderful play. Dennis Grumelski is executive director and co-founder of the Fusion Theater Company. Fred Franklin is the director. It's called Clybourne Park, and it's tonight at the Lensic and at 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon and 8 in the evening. Now, what happens when you're done? This is your last New Mexico performance? Is it done? Are you going to tour?
Yeah, we performed at the Cell Theater in Albuquerque as well as the Chemo Theater in Albuquerque, and then honored to come back up here. I just have to say that we are so thrilled to be performing at the Lensic, which, for those of you who don't get out of town much, is a world-class facility with world-class programming. We have nothing like it in Albuquerque, housed all within the same roof. And Robert Martin had the foresight to their executive director to present us under his Lensic Presents umbrella, and we could not be happier about how things have been going, and the quality of the reception of folks here. It's been a wonderful experience that we're really looking forward to continuing.
Big shout out to Bob Martin, Dennis Grumelski, and Fred Franklin. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine.
I'm well. Excuse me.
And as people are wont to say, I'm good.
I'm good. No, it's been great. I've been taking some time off of work, a little vacation, a little resting, catching up on my movies and...
Right.
And reading and sitting around the house eating Cheetos in my underwear. So it's been nice.
Does that qualify as too much information?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just right.
So what is going on this weekend? As we just talked about during the first segment, Clybourne Park is at the Lensic tonight, and I am going to that tonight. It's a wonderful play. I haven't seen it, and of course everything depends on the production, but reading the actual script of the play itself was fantastic.
Oh, it's a wonderful play. Fusion is doing great work, and bringing it to Santa Fe as part of sort of an ongoing series that I hope becomes a regular thing.
I think so. I think he said that everything that they're going to do as a company is going to have a performance or two at the Lensic.
Yeah, it's a satellite project, but this is kind of. It started a few months ago, but this is sort of, it's going well. And by all accounts, it should continue, you know. So, Clybourne Park, awesome.
Awesomeness.
Yeah, story in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Excellent.
We have a few openings. Actually, there's a great one happening at El Zaguán tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. with work by Tess McArdle. And Jeff Norris, a former New Mexican employee, is going to be doing some readings from his work. He's a Zaguanista.
All right.
That's
a nice place.
Yeah. And that's up there on Canyon Road, 545 Canyon Road, reception from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight. Flying Cow Gallery has a great student exhibit. Students from IAIA are going to be exhibiting work there at the Flying Cow Gallery from 6 to 9 p.m. tonight. This is a cool one. There's a group show at Johnny's Classic Barbershop. There's an exhibit. I think there's a reception tonight at 6 p.m. It's a group show of photographs and paintings. It's an eclectic mix of stuff, but it's definitely, I mean, Johnny's Classic Barbershop is a classic.
What's not to love?
Yeah, exactly. So, as far as exhibits go, that's one thing that you can look forward to. TGIF tonight, there's a chancel choir recital, Bach's Birthday Festival of Choral Music at 5:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe. That's going to be really nice. What else? Let me see. Oh, I don't have a dog of the week this week. I'm sorry. I didn't
look
one up.
Oh, no dog of the week, but we have a cat of the week, and I'll get that out in just a moment. I gotta find the email. But the Alternatives to Violence, which is a worldwide peace effort, or Alternatives to Violence project, is having a workshop on community building, conflict resolution skills, and nonviolent communication skills. And that is two Saturdays, tomorrow and the following Saturday, from 8:30 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon at the Unitarian Universalist Church. It's a very low registration fee, practically free. For more information, call Irene Webb at 988-1817. 988-1817.
Sweet. Hey, the Apple Hill Spring Quartet is going to be performing, I think it's tonight. Yeah, it's tonight at 6 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Center. It's a great program. Have you ever heard the Apple Hill String Quartet?
No.
You must Google them. Googleize them immediately. They're fantastic. And it's an interesting program. Tickets are available at the Lensic, 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org.
Yay.
And again, that show is tonight, Friday, March 22nd, at the Scottish Rite.
And, okay, the time has come for Cat of the Week. Spring is here, and as they say at Felines and Friends, cats are blooming everywhere. They have bouquets of kitties all kinds. And this week's featured cat is Christiana. And Christiana was rescued in the Santa Fe area. She's adjusting very well to life in a foster home. She's sweet and playful and gets along with dogs and cats. Has a short coat with gray tabby markings, and she was born about a year ago. If you would like to adopt this kitty or any other kitty from Felines and Friends, write to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or call 316-2281.
Hey, did you ever happen to read Emily Rapp's book, Still Point to the Turning World?
Yes. She's out of town right now, but I reran the interview that we did last fall when the first kind of advanced reader's copies came out, mm-hmm. and so we had her on the air yesterday, and that's a fantastic book.
Fantastic book, fantastic story.
Fantastic person.
Yes. And Emily Rapp is actually going to be at Collected Works Bookstore on Tuesday at 6 p.m., and she's going to be reading from her book, which is an incredible memoir about herself and her son, who unfortunately passed away rather recently.
Her son passed away a month ago at the age of something like 3 years old, or just before his third birthday, and he had a genetic disease called Tay-Sachs disease, which was diagnosed when he was about 9 months old. And so it's this whole journey of living with a child who has a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy, and a very, very beautiful book.
Very beautiful book. She was interviewed on a nationally syndicated morning news show recently, and the person doing the interview couldn't even keep it together.
Really?
It's her story is heartwarming, and even if you don't have kids, it's an incredible journey that she went on and continues to go on.
Well, and it's such a lesson. I think the take home for the whole thing for her and for me as a reader is live in the present.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Yep. Exactly. Well put.
Also on at Collected Works Bookstore on Thursday, Muse Times 2 Spring Series with Arda Collins and Catherine Ugaritz. And Arda was the 2008 winner of the annual Yale Series of Younger Poets competition. And Catherine Ugaritz is the author of Courtship and Other Tales. And she's been on this show talking about science programs for girls. She's awesome. And that's at 6 o'clock on Thursday, the 28th of March. And then on Friday, the 29th, Bruce Adams, publisher of the Santa Fe and magazine, will introduce Michael Clinton about the Globetrotter Diaries. But I guess we'll announce that a week from today, huh?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
Hey.
This Sunday at Collected Works, there's their first open mic for unpublished authors, acoustic musicians, and stage performers.
Really?
It's at 3 o'clock. At 2:45, you can sign up for your 10-minute spot.
10 minutes, people.
10 minutes. 10 minutes is a long time when you don't know what you're doing.
It is. A lot of those things that happen in town are like 5 minutes. And
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Even if you do know what you're doing, it's a long time.
I know. It's amazing that we manage to squeeze 30 minutes every Friday without.
But we know what we're doing.
We know what we're doing.
Right.
Speaking of which, yes. Knowing what we're doing, David J. Carroll. This is why we can't have nice things. A wonderful exhibit that is. at Photo Eye Gallery, and Carol is going to sign and discuss copies of the work. Oh, it's a collection of images. It's sort of like a monograph, and he's going to be signing and discussing it at Photo Eye Gallery on Saturday, March 23rd. And he graces the cover of this week's Pasta Tiempo, which, by the way, before I forget, I need to mention, is now available online.
It is?
At PastaTiempoMagazine.com.
I am so happy to hear that.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've tried to look for things when I can't find my piece of paper.
Right. So April 9th, I usually what I do is I come in and I, you know, grab a copy of the newspaper and then sit down and then look through it while you're interviewing somebody else. But now I can just go online and the calendar is there. It's in PDF form, so you can actually download it to your, you know, you can print it out as a PDF and carry it around with you. And I think through April 9th, it's you know, it's available. And then after that, it's you read 10 articles and then, you know.
Ah, it's like the New York Times.
It's like the New York Times.
In some way.
So we're dangling the carrot right
all
now,
right,
people.
Cool.
PastaTiempoMagazine.com. Completely revamped both websites, and they're nice.
And if you're a subscriber to it, can you put in your...
Yeah,
you'll
have
it?
Your own registration number and stuff. And if, awesome. if you're confused about it and you're a subscriber, just call Circulation or call us over at the New Mexican, and we'll take care of you. Okay, that's enough pimping for the day.
We call this Speaking of the Arts, but it's really speaking of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And the Santa Fe Ski Patrol's 8th annual Tessa's Ascension, an endurance ski event benefiting Habitat for Humanity, is tomorrow starting at 5 o'clock. You can find out more information at sfpatrol.org. And it's at the Santa Fe Ski Area.
sfpatrol.org.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Hey, Robert Earl Keen is coming back.
Who's that?
Robert Earl Keen is a wonderful singer-songwriter who visits Santa Fe often. He's Texas-born, but so am I, so don't hold that against us.
It's a good thing.
I know. There are pockets of awesome in Texas, trust me.
I know. I love Texans.
Yeah. It's, you know, South by Southwest just ended. I think it just ended. So we've been getting a lot of bands, like, floating through on their way there, and I'm sure we'll get some floating on their way back.
Some of the kindest and most hospitable friends that I've ever had are Texans. Texans taught me Southern hospitality. They
there
changed my life.
There,
seriously. Just saying.
Robert Earl Keen is going to be playing at the Santa Fe Farmers Market Pavilion in the Rail Yard on Wednesday, March 27th at 7 p.m. And this guy's got like 18 albums under his belt. He's been around for 30 years. He's got a huge fan base. Tickets are available at the Lenzic. This is a 21 and older show. I think it's right now the only way they can do shows like this at the Pavilion for, I think, probably liability reasons. But if you go to the Lenzic's website at ticketsantafe.org or call 988-1234 or stop by and visit the Lonely Ticketeer, you can pick up tickets for the show.
The Lonely Ticketeer. Isn't that the name of an opera?
Is it?
Or is Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass song?
I don't know. Is the Ticketeer a real thing?
No.
Okay.
Tonight at Vanessi's, Ron Hellman Jazz Ensemble from 7:30 to 10:30. And then tomorrow night, Bob Finney, singer and pianist and new arrival to Santa Fe from 6:30 until closing. And then on... doesn't say, but I'm going to assume it's Sunday. David Geist and open mic, multiple guests from 5 to 7, and then Bob Finney after that. That's all at Vanessi, 982-9966.
Sweet. There's some dance going on tonight. I should talk about the 26th Annual Choreographer's Showcase is at 7:30 p.m. Doors are opening at 7 tonight at the Rail Yard Performance Center. It's going to be New Mexico School for the Arts students, Pomegranate Studios dancers, Dance Space Santa Fe, Four Winds Belly Dance, a lot of dancers and a lot of different styles of dance tonight at the Rail Yard Pavilion. You can get tickets by calling 920-0554. And there's an encore, actually, on Saturday the 23rd. And let me just make sure I get the time right on the encore. The encore is at 7 p.m. also on Saturday.
Excellent.
Oh, and Theodore Grotesco is continuing its 30-year anniversary performances.
Excellent.
Have you had a chance to see it yet?
I have.
Yeah? It was good. It's continuing through, I believe it's like May. They have, you know, right now they're doing their short scenes, and then they'll go into their collaborative performances later on. But
Theater Grotesco, and it's at the CCA's Munoz Waxman Gallery, which is a wonderful space to see performance and to see art.
That's where I saw Elliot Gray Fisher's.
Yes, that was a really good thing.
Amazing, amazing performance. Anyway, this you can go to theatergrotesco.org or call 474-8400 for ticket information. This is playing Thursday through Sunday through April 7th.
Excellent.
So you have some time.
You got some time, but don't blow it.
Don't blow it.
Tonight, Burt Dalton Trio with Milo Jaramillo and John Bartlett. Oh, that's in Albuquerque. That's at Scalo's at Knob Hill. And then tomorrow, the Brazil Project, also Burt Dalton, is having a rare Santa Fe appearance at El Mesón. And that's from 7:30 to 10:30. And then Sunday, Chet Baker, Jerry Mulligan tribute with Jan McDonald, Arlen Asher, Burt Dalton, Milo Jaramillo, and John Bartlett at the Center for Spiritual Living at 4 in the afternoon. And then Thursday, the 28th of March, Time Out for Brubeck at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque. For more information, BurtDalton.com.
Nice. Here's a fun one for Saturday. Stand-up comedians Mimi Gonzalez and Sandra Valls, titled Lesbarados.
And that's isn't that a 70s song?
Lesbarados.
Yes.
8 p.m. on Saturday. Doors open at 7 at the Maria Benitez Theater at the Lodge at Santa Fe over there on North St. Francis Drive. Tickets, call 310-3911. You know, I've noticed lately that there's been more sort of stand-up comedy and improv comedy coming to town.
I'm happy about that.
I am too.
We need it. I love stand-up comedy, and I never think to go.
Right. Yeah, they're in some unlikely places we've seen that kind of comedy popping up, like at the Underground,
right,
in Evangelos.
Right, right.
So everywhere from like the Maria Benitez Theater, all the way down to the Undie, as they call it.
Yeah, go get your laugh on and stop being so darn serious.
I know. I think we should bring more of it to San Diego, especially during the summer. You know.
Exactly.
What else is happening? Oh, Tuku's coming to town. Do you know Tuku?
No, who be Tuku?
Okay, if I mispronounce Tuku's real name, I apologize. But it's Oliver Tukuzi, and the Black Spirits, a native of Zimbabwe. He's kind of a world music legend, put his first album out in 1975.
You can't go wrong with Zimbabwean music, that's my motto.
He sings in English and the Shona language, and he's I would call him an activist singer.
Awesome.
But he's really spreading, you know, a message of peace, and that is happening at 7 p.m. on Thursday, March 28th at the Lenzic.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I won't reiterate where you can get tickets. Just go to the Lenzic and get them.
Lenzic.org, 988-1234.
Yeah.
And I got an email. I don't know anything about this, but here's what I'm just going to read it to you.
Okay.
Dreaming Transformation, a day-long labyrinth experience of the inner journey with Judith Tripp, hosted by the Labyrinth Resource Group of Santa Fe. That's tomorrow from 10 to 5 at the Christ Lutheran Church on Arroyo Chamiso. For more information, labyrinthresourcegroup.org. And the phone number is 670-1106.
Yes. I want to probably make a little correction to a listing that I talked about earlier. Life in the Air Age is interactive readings of fiction by Jeff Norris and performance art pieces by Tess McCardle at 7 p.m. on Saturday at El Zaguán. And that's over there on Canyon Road. 983-2567.
All right.
I would hate to do a former colleague bad.
Oh, that would be...
That would be not good.
That would be wrong.
That would be not good.
And tomorrow night at 7:30, the New Mexico Guitar Duo is at Gig on 2nd Street. That is Jeremy Main and Mickey Jones, and that group was formed in 1989. It's been going on for a very long time. For more information, NewMexicoGuitarStudio.com. And then on Saturday night at 7:30, Donald Rubinstein will also be at Gig, and DonaldRubinstein.com.
The Chet Baker Jerry Mulligan Project. This should be fun. Sunday, the 24th, jazz trumpeter Jan McDonald, saxophonist Arlen Asher, and the Burt Dalton Trio are going to be at the Santa Fe Center for Spiritual Living at 4 p.m.
I read that.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You're supposed to stop me before.
That's all right. It's good because they're awesome, so they get a little extra bump.
I'm sorry. I'm still on vacation.
I hear you. No worries.
I know. Ghost Towns of New Mexico. Did we talk about this?
No.
There's a talk by Mary Mortensen Deeker at 2 p.m. At the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art over there on Museum Hill. Lots of ghost towns in New Mexico.
Where's Robert Knott?
I don't know.
He's always talking about that kind of stuff.
He should be down there checking it out, though.
And then he's making ghost sound effects. Yeah, that might be coming from the ghosts themselves. We're never really sure.
I don't do those.
I don't either.
I'm not sure how a ghost sounds, really. He has more experience with that.
I think it varies depending on the ghost, just like people.
Yeah.
So let's see. Tomorrow at the Center for Spiritual Living, there is an event. There's a screening of Michael Moore's award-winning documentary, Bowling for Columbine, at 4:45, and then a live panel webcast with Michael Moore to discuss film and local and national initiatives for firearms violence prevention. That's at 7 o'clock. There's no charge, and donations are greatly appreciated. And that's some good stuff. You get to actually talk to Michael Moore, even though he's there in a remote manner. He's still going to be there.
Very nice. Hey, Thursday the 28th, did we talk about this? Buried Child opening night? I think not. Ironweed Productions, in co-production with Santa Fe Playhouse, presents Sam Shepard, his drama is at 7:30 p.m. over there at the Playhouse. Opens Thursday night. Discounts are available. You can call 988-4262 or just go to the Santa Fe Playhouse website.
And I'm going to have them on the air on Tuesday.
Nice.
And this Friday, that's tonight from 5 to 7 at the Santa Fe Arts Commission Community Gallery at the Convention Center, is a new opening of Cumulus Skies, and that goes on through the 7th of June, and it's called The Enduring Modernist Aesthetic in New Mexico. It looks to be a really great show, and it's easy to sometimes forget that we have this community gallery over there, and it's a wonderful place. Do you know it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's see. Did we talk about the Russell Banks Lannan event?
No, go ahead.
We didn't. I'm just going to mention it. Lannan Foundation Literary Event with novelists Russell Banks and Stona Fitch at 7 p.m. at the Lensic on Wednesday the 27th. Very reasonably priced. Discounts available. There's a story in today's Positempo on page 14.
And the Spanish Colonial Arts Society is having a celebración. It's a gala. That's tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Santa Fe Convention Center. It's the 10th annual gala for the Spanish Colonial Arts Society, and it's elegant attire. Tickets are still available. And for more information, you can call 982-2226, extension 103.
Elegant attire?
Elegant attire.
Does that mean like black tie, or does that mean...
That means brand new blue jeans and a bolo tie.
That's sad.
And a fancy cowboy shirt.
And a fancy cowboy shirt.
No, I don't know. Whatever you consider elegant, I guess. we have a wider latitude here than in some places. And Tina Davila Pottery is having an open house this weekend on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4 Saturday and 2 to 4 Sunday at 933 Nicole Place. For more information, tinadavilapottery.com and 986-9856.
Neato. Hey.
Beautiful. She's got beautiful bunnies on her pottery.
Beautiful bunnies?
They look like Beatrix Potter to me.
Bunnies.
They're bunnies.
Santa Fe Art Institute open house.
Yes. Yeah. Open studios.
Open studio. It's monthly readings and meet and greet with writers and artists in residence. It's happening this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. over there at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design campus at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Go to their website and check out the exhibits that they have on view right now. They have some wonderful stuff going on and some great things coming up. which we'll talk about when they do.
All right.
What about, we didn't mention the Santa Fe Council on International Relations dinner and movie screening happening on Tuesday the 26th.
Oh, right? Please talk about that.
A buffet dinner followed by a screening of the film Cherry Blossoms from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Cowgirl Barbecue on Tuesday the 28th. You can either opt for dinner and the film, or the film only. So you have options. Go to sfcir.org or call 982-4931 for more info.
And KSFR, the very radio station you were listening to, presents a very special evening of music and dancing with Bob Livingston, and that is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Lodge. Food and drink are available there. For more information, you can call KSFR at 428-1527. And Bob Livingston is winner of the 2011 Best Album by the Texas Music Awards for being a singer-songwriter. He does country, honky-tonk, and all kinds of good stuff. So check that out. And, of course, it's a benefit for KSFR, so it's yet another way that you keep this station on the radio.
Yes. Hey, Daffodil days are upon us.
I know.
Right?
I've got all sorts of little things threatening to come out of the ground in my driveway.
We do, too. We've got a Christmas cactus that's come back. It's already blooming again.
Nice.
It usually blooms twice a year, though. Daffodil Days is an annual event supporting Presbyterian Medical Services Hospice Center. It's held during the hours of operation at places like Connie's Food Town, La Montanita Co-op, Sprouts, and some other big box stores. And it's for a good cause. Flowers. If you call 988-2211, you can find out where to pick up flowers. It's today and Saturday at select locations. So 988-2211 if you want to give someone a bouquet of daffodils.
Nice.
That would be who you should call because it's for a good cause.
And I just want to add, I noticed here on a particular email that I got that the fundraising celebration gala for the Spanish Colonial Arts Society, it features auction items, including a John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora autographed guitar.
Oh.
And an African safari. I'm just saying.
An African safari?
Yep, you can bid on and win an African safari.
Oh, I want to go.
Well, so now you know about it.
Hey, Monte Del Sol's Charter School is having a fundraiser with dinner and live music. The event is Saturday. It's called Japan in Art. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. at the National Education Association of New Mexico building, which is on Boltolf Road. If you call 982-5225, you can find out more information on how you can help out the school and enjoy some live music and dinner.
Excellent. Serenata of Santa Fe, all chamber music, all the time, presents Outliers, featuring the Apple Hill String Quartet. That's tonight at the Scottish Rite Temple at 6 o'clock. Music by Domenico Cimarosa and Giorgi Ligeti and Brahms and Grieg. And for more information, you can go to Serenata of Santa Fe. Just Google it or call 989-7988.
We didn't get to the movies.
We didn't get to the movies. There's always so much more than we can fit
Laura
in.
Laura is playing. It's awesome. It's playing at the screen. I reviewed it in today's Pasta Tempo. I give it 3.5 chilies.
Awesome.
It's a wonderful historical drama about children of Nazi sympathizers who are trying to gain their freedom.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine and the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us many Fridays speaking of the arts, and it's always great to have you on the air.
It's great to have me on the air. No, I'm kidding.
It's great to be had.
It's great to be had. Next time, I promise, I will be not on vacation and more with it. And
You're at least as with it as I am. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, I think. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc, and my email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz, etc. And it looks to be a beautiful sunny day, although not quite as spring-like and warm as it's been.
It's going to get a little chillier this weekend.
It's going to get a little chilly, but it's beautiful. And take good care of your dogs and your cats and one another and this beautiful green earth. My little doggy got hurt the other day, and we had to go to the vet.
Uh-oh.